This is a meeting of the Cambridge License Commission. It's Wednesday, July 11th, 2018. It's 3:06 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 839 Mass Ave, basement conference room. Before you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moretti Ferrer, Chief Gerard Mahoney, and Commissioner Branville Bard. First matter, review, Coffee Shop LLC, doing business as Upper West, 1 Cedar Street B. Holder of GOP, all alcohol license, number 11587, and common victualer license, number 13296, due to the board's vote on June 6, 2018, regarding the seating capacity set for said premises. The hearing is being held pursuant to the provisions of General Laws, Chapter 138 and 140, and the new information regarding seating capacity zoning restrictions per Cambridge Zoning Ordinance, Article 20, Section 20.110.5.
Thank you. Ms. Courtney or Mr. Dietrich, do you want to be heard? Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Kim Courtney, C-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y.
Thank you.
Xavier Dietrich, X-A-V-I-E-R-D-I-E-T-R-I-C-H.
Thank you. Is there anything you want to say?
I'm here to learn what it's about. I haven't been provided with any information. So
you received a letter on June 26, 2018 with regard to the information that your premise is in a BA2 district in the Massachusetts Avenue Overlay District, correct?
I received the letter, yes.
Okay. And that letter also tells you what the Cambridge Zoning Ordinance states with regard to that district?
Sure.
So I don't think that there's anything else to say. We can't, under the law, give capacity that's above what the zoning or the building code allows us to do.
What information are you basing your determination on?
Cambridge Zoning Ordinance, Article 20, Section 20.1110.
Right, but you've made a zoning determination based on some sort of information.
I did not make a zoning determination.
That you refused to provide, and you have not asked us any questions.
Are you the zoning department?
I'm not the zoning department.
Exactly.
But you can't make a zoning determination without information from us.
Ms. Courtney, the board nor I have made a zoning determination. That's what the zoning ordinance
says. I received your zoning determination letter.
You received a letter with regard to information that we got from zoning, yes.
What information? We requested it in writing on multiple occasions. 15 days later, we still haven't received a response from you.
June 26, 2018, that's your letter.
June 26, 2018, and then I sent you a request for information and another one on June 30th, and we're still awaiting your response.
All of your public records requests have been forwarded to the officer at the law department that
deals with
that.
Well, we're here for a hearing. If you're not going to provide us the information that you're basing your determination on,
Ms. Courtney,
I can't
respond. Did you receive the letter on June 26, 2018?
Yes, but it does not provide any information about
the
determination.
Do you gentlemen have any questions?
I don't. No, I think the letter is pretty self-explanatory.
Okay. Well, with that said, I would
say anything. It doesn't say anything.
With that said, I would just, on the record, make it clear that pursuant to Cambridge Zoning Ordinance Article 20, Section 20.1110.5, the seating capacity for Upper West is controlled as follows. Between November 1st and April 14th, the business may only operate with a total of 49 seats, which can be located inside or outside. Between April 15 and October 31st, the business may operate with 49 seats inside and a maximum of 24 seats outside. In order to exceed these seating numbers, they would need relief from the Board of Zoning of Appeals. There is no change to the standing capacity. Yes?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Disciplinary matter, La Fabrica Central, LLC, doing business is La Fabrica, 450 Mass Ave. Holder of common victualer, all alcohol, license number 11593, due to alleged violations of permitting disorder, disturbance, or illegality on a licensed premise, to wit, overcapacity, in violation of Mass General Laws, Chapter 138, Section 23 and 64, and rules and regulations of the City of Cambridge Board of License Commissioners, rules 2.3, 2.5, 5.1, and 9.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Attorney William Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, of counsel with the firm of Considine & Fiore, LLP, 1 Beacon Street, 22nd floor in Boston, Mass. 02108. Good afternoon, Commissioner Mahoney and Commissioner Bard.
Renato Rodriguez, General Manager of La Fabrica Central. The name R-E-N-A-T-O, last name R-O-D-R-I-G-U-E-Z.
Thank you.
Deputy Chief Peter Donovan, D-O-N-O-V-A-N, Cambridge Fire Department, Fire Prevention Bureau.
Thank you.
Andrea Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R, Licensed Commission Investigator.
Thank you. I'm not sure who's starting.
Do you want to just swear in?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Anyone who's going to testify, you please stand and raise your right hand. I swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you.
During task force inspection on May 5th, 2018, at approximately 12:18 a.m., we had gone to La Fabrica, located at 450 Mass Ave, to do an inspection based on checking of capacity and also any other infractions maybe on premise. It was Deputy Chief Donovan and I, and ISD Inspector Brandon Vigno. When you first enter La Fabrica, there is one room in the first floor. There's the lobby that you go through, and then there's the front room, the middle room, and then the back room. During that evening, we counted the front room capacity, which has an allowable capacity of 41, and Deputy Chief Dunneman counted 67. In the back room, it was over capacity. The allowable number is 380. The deputy chief cleared the room to re-enter the room, and when the room was re-entered, he had a count of 477. There were no other violations on premise in that evening.
Thank you. Chief Donovan?
Same what Ms. Boyer said. On arrival, he saw that there was a line out front. I spoke to the door, asked if they had a count. We counted 67 in the front room. The middle room was the occupancy is 65. That room was under occupancy. I went to the rear room. There was music playing that appeared to be overcrowded. I asked Mr. Druss. I told him that I believed it would be approaching 500. So we turned down the music, put the lights up, asked them to leave the room, and we did a count with the clicker while they were leaving the room, and I came up with a count of 477.
When you asked the front door person about the capacity, did they give you one?
They said that they did not give me exact capacity. They said that they had a count and they were under capacity.
That they had a count, I'm sorry, what?
And they were under capacity.
But they didn't give you the number?
No, not the exact number.
Thank you. Counselor?
Thank you. If I may inquire of Deputy Chief Donovan with one or two questions.
Yes, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Deputy Chief.
Good afternoon.
And would it be fair to say that you had the opportunity to speak with both management and staff at the premises during the course of your inspection there this evening, or these early morning hours?
Correct.
And they were cooperative with you and complied with all your requests?
Yes, they were a little upset that we had to empty the room, but they did.
Okay. And when you say empty the room, there were patrons in the room, and the music was playing, they were involved in entertainment, dancing, and such?
Yeah, there was no possible way to get a correct count without emptying the room, so Mr. Druskin, is the manager, asked him to shut the music down, turn the lights up, and inform the patrons that we will be having them exit the room when we did a count.
And he complied with that request?
Yes.
And the business stopped right then and there?
Yes.
So, I heard you reference that you mentioned you checked the occupancy of the middle room, and it was under capacity?
Yes.
And did you do a count of how many people were in that room?
No, I don't have an exact clicker count of that, but it was probably in the 20s.
Okay. And when you, after you had the business stop, the lights come up, the music stop, Where did you have all the people that were in the back room move to?
Part of the management, we've given them instructions to have the people to exit to the patio.
I'm sorry?
Exit to the patio.
Okay.
There's a side patio so that the other two rooms would not become overcrowded.
Okay. And does the side patio have a stated capacity limit set by the commission, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, no.
Okay.
Could, but to my knowledge, no.
Okay. And after the room was the room totally emptied?
No, it was not, no.
Okay. Did you do a quick account of how many people remained in the room?
Correct.
And how many people remained in the room?
My total click account was 477.
No, my question, sir, was after they filed out, strike that. My question was, after you had the business stop, the music shut off,
right.
The lights turned on, and all the patrons in that back room file out, was that room emptied completely?
No, there was probably about a quarter amount of capacity left in the room, and I went around and counted the rest of the people in the room. Wanted to do as less disturbance to the business as possible.
So, you did a click account of the people remaining in that back room at that time?
As part of the total, correct, yeah. I didn't do a separate click account of people who exited and people that remained. It was a total grand total.
When you say grand total, did you do a... I'm having difficulty understanding your answer. Did you do a click account of the people that were left in that back room?
Correct.
With the lights on and the music
yes.
off?
Yep.
Okay. And what was that number on your clicker?
The total number of occupants in the room was 477.
I think this will clarify it.
Yeah. I did not differentiate who remained in the room and how many. Yeah.
He said he did a grand total. He said from eyeball, it was about quarter capacity, but he went around.
Right.
And finished clicking and counting for the total of 477 to arrive at.
That is correct.
My question was, if I may, to get clarity here, that was you ordered the management to have all the patrons file out of the room.
Correct.
But all the patrons did not file out of the room, did they?
They did not. No. I got it to a point where I could count them. Visibly, and while they were exiting, management had talked to me about how it has been disrupting their business, how this is the busiest night of the year, how this is Cambridge does not appreciate businesses being disturbed. So as part of a cooperation with the business, I tried to disturb their business as less as possible, and I continued to do the count while there was about a quarter of the room remaining.
And how many people did you count in the room at that point?
The grand total was 477. I do not have a differentiate between how many left and how many were remained.
So you don't have that count?
I do not, no.
Okay. But you allowed people back in?
After we allowed the people, we did another count, and we allowed the people back in the room up to 380.
Well, where did you do this second count, sir?
The remaining count. I believe we had between management and myself and Andre, we had the remaining amount of people allowed back in.
So, if I understand your testimony today correctly, you did a count.
Yes.
And Investigator Boy did a count.
No, I'm not. She didn't do a clicker count. I did a clicker count. Yeah.
And did Investigator Boy do a count at all?
She,
to your knowledge?
She'd have to answer that question herself. To my knowledge, no.
Okay. And then you mentioned management did a count as well. Is that accurate?
To allow the people back in, yes.
Okay. And did you compare your count to the management count?
On the exit? Did management
To let people back in.
We all came to a cooperation that was about the correct amount of people to come back in.
And what was that number? Do you have a? Did you do a clip? Do you have a number in your report?
The occupancy is 380. No, I don't have a number in my report for that. No.
Okay. So it's entirely possible that less than 380 came back into the premises.
Correct.
Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. So did all the people that filed out of the back room go exclusively to the patio, the side patio, or did some stay in the premises?
I could not answer that question. I was in the back room.
Okay. If I may have 1 minute just to check my notes. Mm-hmm. Do you have any knowledge, Deputy Chief, about what the capacity was in the front room for the licensee that preceded La Fabrica Central at this location?
No, I do not.
Okay. I have no further questions of the Deputy Chief. I thank you.
Deputy Chief, how long have you been doing this job?
I've been in the Fire Prevention Bureau a little over 4 years on the Fire Department, a little over 20 years.
And was this the first time that you ordered a business to have patrons exit so that you can take account?
No.
And based on your knowledge and experience, would you have had the authority to shut down the business because of the count that you made in the back room?
I believe so, yes.
But instead you chose to work with the business?
Correct. During the evacuation, like I said, the management was upset that it was a busy night and that we were on it, that we came during a busy night and we weren't interrupting their business, so we tried to cooperate as much as possible, do the count, and to have their business go back operating as normal as quickly as possible.
And I'm sorry, I don't know if either of you testified around what time was this inspection?
The inspection took place at, at approximately 12:18 a.m.
Yeah. So it's actually the 6th.
Yeah. And about how long did it take to take the count of the back room and get the back room up and running, if you know?
I'd say approximately 20, 25 minutes.
Needed, I do have a pretty accurate number of that I could check my files. I took a camera shot of the clicker for 437, so I'd be able to give a more specific time frame if needed. If I check my files.
And then was anything done in terms of the front room and the overcapacity of the front room?
At the time, you know, when we first went in, they started to move people out of the area to move them in a little bit to the middle. That's when we concentrated on the back part of the room. I was actually positioned in the far back room when you first enter. There's the right to the bar, and then there's an exit out into Green Street, and I stayed at Green Street exit to make sure no one left while the deputy chief was doing the capacity count.
And Deputy Chief, you mentioned at some point that you weren't able to do the count, and so that's why you asked to file out people. Why was that?
The room was, if my original estimation was in approaching 500, it was just way too full to do a count, because there's too many people shoulder to shoulder. It would be impossible to get a correct count. So we had patrons exit the room until the room was clear enough where I could do a remaining count.
Mr. Rodriguez, did you have any special programming on the night of the inspection?
It was Cinco de Mayo, so I believe we had a Cinco de Mayo event.
You believe you had, or you did?
We did. My apologies. We did have a dance night in the back, which I think the focus was Cinco de Mayo.
Councilor?
Yes. The commissioner started my presentation for me with Mr. Rodriguez speaking to the commission. As the commission knows, Mr. Rodriguez has recently been approved by the ABCC to become the license manager after an application that had been sitting up at the ABCC for my information due to a problem with their e-record keeping in regards to a payment. But that clog got unclogged and it got processed, and as he sits here before you, He is the approved license manager, in addition to being a licensed crowd manager. He was not the license manager on this night of Friday, Cinco de Mayo, into Sunday, May 6th. So I would ask Mr. Rodriguez, have you made any changes to the business operation to determine an accurate count of patrons in the three rooms of the premises since this event?
Yes.
And could you describe for the commission what changes you've made?
So we ended up getting some digital counters before. We used to use the old manual counters. So we have a digital count in the front door right before you enter the premises, which keeps a full count of all patrons in the building, so a total count. We also have a digital count for the front room, for the middle room, and in the back room. What we've done for the back room is have physical bracelets where we have up to 350, which we give out to the door person who basically anyone going into the club portion will get a bracelet. So that's how we also determine, along with the digital counter, to make sure we are staying below our capacity.
I'm sorry, let me interrupt. And are these changes, because we had a hearing about overcapacity in May as well, are these changes in addition to the ones that you testified at that hearing?
Correct.
My recollection is that hearing was held on May the 9th.
Yeah, sorry, May 9th. You're right.
Just to be certain that it was after.
Yeah.
Mr. Rodriguez, you said a digital count in each of the rooms. A separate individual with that digital count?
Correct. Yes, sir.
And you have that, if I heard you correctly, at the front room? Book to gain entrance to the front room?
Yeah, so we have one right before you enter the premises, which is a whole building count. Then we have one for the front room specifically, one for the middle room specifically, one for the back room specifically.
And have you made other changes in regards to how the patrons move within the premises once they get in the door to be certain that they don't get detoured into the front room or to the middle room?
Yeah, so, you know, some of the challenges that we've experienced, so let's say we could have, you know, 40 people in the front room, let's say at 10 p.m. when people are coming in to go to the back room, to the nightclub dance space. So usually what we do is we communicate with them that, you know, people are only allowed to the back space at the moment right now. We give them the band, and then we have a host and some of the security members actually usher people to the back room so they don't linger in the front or middle room as they make their way through the space onto the back room.
And have you taken any other steps in regards to adding additional security for the premises in regards to police details?
Yeah, so we request pretty regular police details on Tuesday, Fridays, and Saturdays on a weekly basis. And anytime we're expecting like a special holiday or a special event. And we've also added extra security personnel on Fridays and Saturdays, which seems to be the busiest nights for us.
Do you have a memory, or can you explain to the commission the number of security personnel you have available to draw on any given night?
I think our whole security team probably is about 15 guys. On a Saturday, I think we're averaging between 10 to 12 guys. On a Friday, we're probably averaging 8 to 10 guys.
Do you know what their backgrounds are?
Yeah, so we have some of our security guys are retired military, retired, worked in the fire department before. We have a couple of retired police officers. And then some of them are younger, in college, or have professional jobs during the day.
Okay. And Commissioner Bard had asked you whether you had a special program going on that night. Is that the only time you have program or entertainment or live performance?
No, we actually have a pretty extensive entertainment program. Some nights are generally bigger than others, but we do live music Tuesday through Saturdays, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., 11 p.m. in the front room, and then the nightclub is generally running Tuesday through Saturday after 10 p.m. until about 1 a.m., 2 a.m.
Are you aware of how many other premises in the city of Cambridge provide that venue for live performance by musicians?
No, I don't have an exact amount. No, I know there's a couple of venues right on our block, the Middle East, and I think Thelonious Monkfish that offers live music, but I'm not sure what their schedule or their program looks like.
Okay. Now, the capacity in the front room is set at 41, and was that, do you have any information or recollection whether that capacity was set specifically for La Fabrica Central at the time they first obtained the license through the commission's licensing decisions?
I don't have too much information on that. My understanding was that when La Fabrica applied for their capacities, it changed to what it was in the past, at least for my history of that space.
If I may have one moment to review my notes. Mm-hmm. I have no more questions of Mr. Rodriguez.
Mr. Rodriguez, you were there on that day, yes?
Correct.
Do you know what the count was? Do you know what the your person's count was that day?
Off the top of my head, I do not know. I could.
Do you have any documents that tell you what that count is?
I may. I believe that we had a picture of the count, but I would have to go through my file.
Do you contest the count that the fire deputy chief testified to?
We decided not to. At first, you know, I thought that it was an overestimate of the amount of people we had in the back, but, you know, we wanted to be compliant, kind of just, you know, go through the process, so we didn't want to. So we agreed with what the deputy and Andrea kind of had to say and were instructing us to do, so we kind of followed along.
If I may, Madam Chair, for the purposes of a clear record, we've provided no affirmative evidence to suggest that we have a count different from what the deputy chief has testified to.
Okay. Question?
Mr. Rodriguez, on the night in question, was there a cover charge for patrons to enter?
Yes.
And what is the cover charge per individual?
I believe it was $20 to enter. It's usually $15, $20.
Is that for the entire premises?
So that night, I believe, yes, it was. One of the things that we instituted also that I didn't say earlier is a cover charge for the front room. So usually we do $10 for the front two rooms. And then it would be $20 for the back space.
So when somebody gets in one of the front two rooms, how do you differentiate whether or not they're allowed into the back room?
With the bracelet.
The bracelets, what are they, different colors and so forth?
Correct.
Okay. I'm sorry, so they're different colors, or you only give a bracelet for folks that...
We're only giving a bracelet for folks going into the back.
Okay, so if you don't have no bracelet, no back room.
No back room, correct. For the most part, I mean, the business has been open for about a year and 3 months. I arrived there in late October, so we've tried different approaches, including different colors for different areas of the space to kind of alleviate any overcrowding or any capacity issues. We've found that we've had the best luck with this system so far.
I heard you say that you have 350 bracelets and the capacity is 380. You do that intentionally so that you don't...
Exactly. So once we reach 350, we know we ran out. Generally, the door person and there's a security always staffed there with also a digital counter. We kind of compare that we kind of use that as a little bit of space so we don't misjudge.
And those controls were in place at the time or made of place?
Not all of those controls, no. As of our last hearing, we instituted a couple of additional measures, which I believe I spoke on that day. And some of these things, including the cover charge in the front, the bracelets for the capacity, it's some new things that we've been trying to alleviate those concerns.
Anything else,
counselor? I have nothing to offer. If I may ask one more question of Mr. Rodriguez. In regards to the visit by
Thank you.
a visit from Deputy Chief Donovan Investigator Boyer and Inspectional Services Investigator. Did they do any other inspections on the premises?
Yeah, I believe once we got everybody back into the room and everybody was kind of okay with the counts, Deputy did a full inspection of the building.
And did he identify to you or to anyone else at La Fabrica any other concerns, compliance issues, or violations?
No, I believe after the full inspection, we were good.
I have no more questions of Mr. Rodriguez and have no further information to share with the commission at this time.
I do have a question. Last time when we were here for an overcapacity in the front room, you talked about, you and Ms. Pina talked about having a person at each of the rooms that would keep capacity. Now you're talking about also having these digital counters, and you talk about a total of 15 security personnel people. Out of these persons, how many of them are trained to keep these counts, and how many are trained on using these digital counters?
So we generally use the same individuals for those key positions, and then I believe out of the 15 guys, I believe 6 of them we use specifically for crowd control, crowd flow. All of our security members on staff have their crowd manager form. It's one of our requirements before they're able to go on the floor. But I would say about 6 or 7 guys are trained to keep counts in the different areas of the space.
Thank you.
What is the disciplinary history?
So on May 9th, we found that they were over capacity in the front room on February 9th, and we issued a 1-day suspension. They were over capacity in that front room by 24 persons, and for that particular incident, they were under capacity on both the middle room and the back room.
And that hearing was May 9th.
May 9th.
In respect to February 9th.
Right.
And I would ask Mr. Boyer, has there been a task force inspection since May 5th?
Not at that said location, but there has been a task force inspection.
Thank you.
I mean, I think based on the sheer numbers, I mean, in that back room, they were over capacity by 97, and in the front room by 26. And my same issues that we expressed at the last hearing in terms of the way that premises is and the funnel that's created, I don't know, I think there needs to be a suspension, and I think it needs to be a multiple-day suspension.
I mean, and first of all, I agree. I think that since their folks noticed the hearing happened on May 9th, you know, and the May 5th violation, you know, occurred, I think that some leeway should be shown to them, you know. So if we go multiple days, I think it should be the minimum 2 days.
My only comment on that, I agree with your comment, but I would just add that while the hearing may have been on May 9th, they certainly knew well in advance of May 5th that they already were coming in here for a disciplinary hearing on an overcrowding matter.
I agree.
I can't argue.
You know, quite frankly, I would say that this warrants a minimum of a 4-day suspension. That would be my take on it.
I concur with that.
I concur.
So violation, 4-day suspension. And we will send a statement of reasons.
La Fabrica Central, they doing business with La Fabrica, 450 Mass Ave, holder of common victular all alcohol license number 11593, has applied to amend the occupancy of the front room to 113 standing occupants.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Commissioners. My name is William Kelly of Council, Considine and Fiore LLP, 1 Beacon Street, 22nd floor, Boston, Mass., 02108.
Good afternoon. Renato Rodriguez, General Manager of La Fabrica Central. Spelling on the name is R-E-N-A-T-O for Renato, and last name Rodriguez, R-O-D-R-I-G-U-E-Z.
So I reviewed this application and I noticed that it apparently had not gone to ISD yet. We submitted it to ISD. We have not heard back from ISD, but I did notice on the plan that you submitted with it that it says that the proposal is that when you have 113 in the front room, your backroom capacity would be limited to 302, which means that you'll be taking 78 from the back. Is that the intent?
Yes, that is the intent.
And then my other question was in terms of this proposal. It talks about requested occupant load standing 113. Is any furniture going to be removed so that those 113 fit? Because, I mean, you have that really, you have your bar with your chairs, you have the stage up front, but you also have that really long table in the room, so I'm wondering where the 113 are going to go, on top of the table?
Yes. If it pleased the commission, we're joined also by one of the owners of the establishment, Mr. Dennis Benson.
Thank you.
So if I may, Madam Commissioner. So I was involved in the early process. I was involved in the process of the liquor license transfer in the beginning, and I submitted the original numbers to the commission that were primarily based on the numbers for the previous operator. And those numbers were based on seated capacity in the front room. And the architect that worked with us at that time was not asked to give us a standing room occupancy load. And because of the problems we've been having and the awkward shape of the premises, we requested that that he provide us with a occupancy load that would be based on the removal of the bar stools that surround the community table as well as the bar. The community table is the only piece of furniture that we have in the front room. And the increase to 113 would not require us to remove that piece of furniture. It takes into account that furniture remaining in place. We generally, you know, on any given night that's busy, our capacity, you know, given the, again, the awkward shape of the space, right? So everyone has to go in through the front room. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the room with only 41 individuals, customers, it does not look full at all. And we generally range from, you know, 45 to like 60 individuals, because if you have a group of 5 or 10 patrons that are walking in to the back, at any given point, we could be found to be over capacity. And that's a challenge that we have. We also have an entertainment stage in the front where people tend to gather. So these numbers are strictly based on the calculation of just removing the bar stools. And we did recently purchase some bar stools that are stackable that make it much easier for us to collect and gather them. And if I just may add to that, Madam Chair, that the it does take into account sprinkler heads. It takes into account the number of egresses that we have. And really, the front room and the middle room are really, it's really one room. And that's, and the idea that we would be taking the numbers from the back, that would not significantly impact our business.
So I guess my other question would be, when exactly are you thinking of doing that right off the bat, or is it a transition that you're going to do throughout the night?
So, you know, we generally don't have any crowd issues until after 10 o'clock. And at around 10 o'clock is when we begin to hold the line in the front if we feel that we are going to be reaching capacity. So we would be looking to remove the stools at around 10:30, 11 o'clock, all the way through the end of the night.
Which means that you'll probably close your kitchen down earlier than what you're doing now?
Well, so the kitchen closes right now at 9:45 for the most part. Sometimes if it's on a Friday and Saturday, the kitchen closes at around 10:45. We do have a late night menu, but the late night menu is not, you cannot order late night anywhere in the establishment. You have to go to the middle bar. So that helps us with the flow of traffic. But the idea is to remove the stools at around 10:30 or so till 2 o'clock in the morning. And really, we're talking about 2 days a week, which would be a Friday or a Saturday. And I did, Manager, have a conversation with the ISD. I had submitted the drawings to them. They did not state that there would be any issues, again, because this was a calculation that was based on an engineer and an architect that had previously done this work for us.
And so Mr. Rodriguez testified in the previous hearing that Friday and Saturday is your busiest night for the back room, and yet you're going to reduce the capacity for that back room?
Well, if I may, Madam Chair. So, you know, we have a unique concept there. And the concept is that, you know, we provide multiple styles of entertainment on any given night. So, you know, our crowd tends to flow around the space quite a bit. So patrons will hang out in the front room, they'll hang out in the middle room, they'll hang out on the patio, they'll go into the club, they'll come out of the club. And that's what we are hoping to achieve here with these changes, is to really create more flow, but also make sure that we are maintaining levels of capacity that are lawful. And we do believe that we have the mechanism in place right now to do that.
Have you considered, because if I understand it correctly, because of the upstairs and noise issues, I believe your live entertainment in the front room you end earlier, is that correct? You don't keep that up until 2 a.m. You switch to a DJ at some point in the front room, correct?
Correct. So from 8 to 11, we have a live band in the front, Tuesdays through Saturdays for the most part. After 11 o'clock is about a half hour break, and then we have a DJ on the front stage as well as the club.
And have you ever considered doing the same entertainment after that 11 o'clock throughout the entire space so that you don't have this issue where you have people in the back, in the front, in the middle, and all this? Because your band thing sounds like it's going to work, but it also, based on what you just testified, it also sounds like you're anyways going to have the issue of capacity unless someone's really on top of it, because if you do have everyone roaming around in the business,
I'm just curious. Yeah, so we're able, so we did, and I did speak to Investigator Boyer about this when she came to the establishment the last time, and that is that, you know, how do we utilize the middle room a little better? We did invest in moving much of our equipment to the middle room, and we did put a DJ there, and it really didn't work. And so, you know, the idea is to continue doing what we're doing now, but really stay on top of our, you know, capacity and crowd management. And with the staff that we have in place now, we have been able to do that. Obviously, it's a lot more work for us, but really changing the occupancy load for the front room would help substantially. And you know, it's a really awkward space. It really is, and it's you know, it's a major challenge for us. But you know, we have put a lot of mechanisms in place to help us deal with this issue.
Well, I think if the board approves this, you will have to re-amend what you've done, because you say you have 350 bands for the back, and yet you're reducing your capacity to 302. So you're anyways going to be over capacity if you give out the 350 bands.
We're facing a 4-day suspension, right, for a day that was is recognized as Cinco de Mayo. So we had a very special challenge that day, and that's why we had the issues that we did. We don't generally reach capacity in the back. you know, unless it's a special event, unless we have a, you know, a concert band that is performing. You know, generally we're anywhere from 250 to 325 patrons in the back. So we don't see this as a major issue for us. What we have to, the biggest challenge for us is when we do have a concert in the back, or we have another Cinco de Mayo, that we really have the staff in place that's conducting an accurate count so that we can avoid these issues. And we believe that we, again, that we have the mechanism in place to do that now.
So I have a question. Mr. Rodriguez, do you have the architectural drawings? Because these drawings are incomplete and very difficult to...
So this one, I submitted, I think you have...
Mr. Chair, I did submit a full drawing to...
You did, and we gave it to ISD. I'm sorry.
And I provided one to them as well.
So this one offers a...
May I?
Yes, of course.
I believe this could be submitted.
This is Mass Ave.
Yes.
Okay. So this is the entrance?
Yes.
And currently you have 41.
Sitting.
Front room occupant load, maximum capacity of 123. This room here, which is demarcated by these bold lines, correct?
Yes. That's standing occupants only.
Okay. Front bar have a maximum capacity of 123. It means back room capacity should not exceed the amount of 172 when people are standing at the front bar. Correct?
Hang on, I'm sorry. This is right here. You're looking at the wrong drawing. Sorry about that. So 302.
So 113 means the back function room should not exceed 302 when standing at the front.
So you take the 72 that you're adding on here.
Yes.
You take them from the back room.
That's correct. And the idea is that we're going to have someone keeping count here, ensuring that the entire establishment does not have more than 486 people, which is currently the occupancy load for the entire space. The middle room is 65. The back room is 380. So technically we can take the numbers either from the rental room or we can take them from the back, but we're planning on taking the numbers from the back.
So this drawing is stamped by a licensed engineer from the Commonwealth?
Yes, sir.
He or she is stating by stamping and signing this that they are conforming to the building code?
Yes, sir.
So forth and so on?
Yes, sir.
So I would say for the record, I'm okay with it, provided it falls within the parameters of both ISD and zoning issues. Because we have a licensed engineer that's stating.
And this is the same architect that provided raw views to the ISD.
So I would say that provided ISD approves in terms of zoning and building and everything else, that I would grant, but with the condition that the licensee submit in writing a plan in terms of how they are going to monitor capacity and when they're going to, quote unquote, activate the front room capacity at a higher rate and then take away from the back room. I would like a very specific written plan in terms of that.
Madam Chair, just for clarification, so you're looking for a time where we would be removing the stools, and for how long is that? Just a...
I wouldn't say a time. I would say however it is that you're going to implement your business plan to make sure that this happens, whether you guys are deciding it by a time, an event, or a call from the manager of that night or on record of that day. I don't intend to tell you how you're going to run your business.
Excuse me, sir. You either have to come in the room or step outside. You can't block the exit way. Thank you.
So just basically a plan where you guys inform us, and quite frankly, your employees as well, as to when this is going to be activated. So granted, pending ISD and zoning approval. Okay, so pending ISD and zoning approval and submission of written plan regarding crowd control and wine capacity changes are activated. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Disciplinary matter, Coffee Incorporated, doing business as Daedalus, 45 and a half Mount Auburn Street, holder of common victualer, all alcohol license 11672, due to alleged violations of permitting disorder, disturbance, or illegality on the license premise, to wit, over capacity, in violation of General Laws, Chapter 138, Sections 23 and 64, and rules and regulations of the City of Cambridge Board of License Commissioners, Rules 2.3, 2.5, 5.1, and 9.
Good afternoon. Could
you
please state and
spell
your name for the record?
Yeah, it's Brendan Hopkins, H-O-P-K-I-N-S. Brendan, B-R-E-N-D-A-N, owner of Daedalus Restaurant.
Is it, I'm sorry, D-A-N?
D-A-N, yeah.
Okay,
thanks. Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K.
Thank you. Ms. Roman.
Please stand and raise your hands. I swear the testimony you're about to give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do. Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Bubenik, you want to start?
On the night of May 26th, about 11:30 p.m., as a part of my regular weekend investigations, I entered the Daedalus restaurant and noticed that their second floor outdoor patio was crowded, so I did a hand count with a clicker, found that there were 97 persons in that area, and they were only licensed for 50. So I notified management, who was very cooperative, put a person on the door to the patio, and began to remove people from the outside portion back inside the restaurant. It took about 10-15 minutes, at which time they were under capacity on the patio and they didn't overcrowd any other rooms in the restaurant inside either.
Mr. Hopkins, you guys were here on September of 2017 for a similar overcrowding issue at the roof deck as well.
Yes, we were.
And at that time, I know, I believe you weren't the one that testified to this, but it was testified on behalf of the licensee that you have a door person who monitors the capacity of the roof deck.
Yeah.
Was that person not there that night?
He wasn't there that night. Jacob, our general manager at the time, I think it was Peter was meant to be on the door, but we weren't that busy inside, so we let him go. And then Jacob, he told me he went down to the office, and then a crowd of people came in, and they went outside. So
that was exactly what happened
exactly,
in 2017.
Yeah. I know. And when he told me this, I was just as frustrated as you guys are right now. So we've had a conversation with Jacob about it. We've also hired a new GM, Corey Templehoff. He started a month ago, and we sat him down and we told him how it's important for us not to be in this situation again. We've also moved, we have two doormen on right now. One stays upstairs, and nobody gets cut till the patio is closed. We also had a hostess downstairs. But we move a hostess. We have another hostess upstairs as well at the patio door, and we have a host there during dinner service, and they keep account of the people coming and going. We also put up signage upstairs to let the clientele know when we hit our capacity and give them approximate wait time to get outside. There's no excuse for us. We were over capacity, but I told the management this can't happen again. As I said, we bought more hosts and more doormen, and hopefully it won't happen again.
Investigator Booth, May 26th was the inspection date?
May 26th.
Well, they have on. We issued a one-day suspension as to the roof deck only for that event of July 21st that we heard in September. and we issued the one day after the patio only, considering the fact that the business has been operating for 16 years with no disciplinary history. With that said, to me, this is now the second one, the same issue. I would say a multiple day suspension as to the entire business is necessary.
I don't know, maybe a little more lenient than the chair. I don't think that, I think it would be appropriate to issue the same suspension as we issued in September. So patio home.
Mr. Bubnik, you said that once the overcrowding was abated, that it resulted in no overcrowding on the inside. Is that correct?
Correct. I didn't leave until I did a count of the inside as well.
I would be in favor of 2 days on the patio with 1 day held in abeyance.
Okay, so I vote for a violation of a 2 day suspension of the entire business.
I concur with the fire chief.
Okay, so 2-1, I'm sorry, and you say, again, can you repeat that so I can write it?
2 day for the patio, 1 day held in abeyance for 6 months.
Disciplinary matter, Tamale Incorporated, doing business as Charlie's Kitchen, the Red House, 10 Elliott Street. Holder of common victualler, all alcohol license 11679, due to alleged violations of permitting disorder, disturbance, or illegality on a licensed premise to wit overcapacity. In violation of General Laws, Chapter 138, Sections 23 and 64, Rules and Regulations of the City of Cambridge Board of License Commissioners, Rules 2.3, 2.5, 5.1, and 9.
Good
afternoon.
Could you please
state
and spell your names for the record?
Sure. Anyone who's going to testify who has not been sworn, if you'd stand and raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners. My name is James Rafferty, R-A-F-F-E-R-T-Y. I'm an attorney with offices at 675 Massachusetts Avenue in Cambridge. I'm appearing this afternoon on behalf of the licensee, Tamale Inc., doing business as Charlie's Kitchen and the Red House. Seated to my right is Jap Overgag, J-A-A-P, O-V-E-R-G-A-A-G. Mr. Overgag is one of the principals of the business, and his brother, seated next to him, Paul Overgag, O-V-E-R-G-A-A-G, is the also a principal of the business.
Thank you.
Thank you. On task force again, May 5th.
For the record, thank you.
Andrea Boyer,
Thank you, go ahead, Ms. Boyer.
Thank you. Again, on task force on May 5th, 2018, at approximately 11:35 p.m., Deputy Chief Donovan Inspector, ISD Inspector Brendan Vigneault, and I entered Charlie's Kitchen. We checked the patio area first, which when you are facing Charlie's Kitchen, you go to the left down the street, and there's like a little bit of beer garden down below. On that evening, the beer garden was over capacity. The allowable capacity is 124. Counted by the deputy chief was 145, 24 removed while we were on site. When asked, the doorman stated that there were 110 people on site. He had no clicker.
Deputy Chief Peter Donovan, Cambridge Fire Department, Fire Prevention Bureau, D-O-N-O-V-A-N. As Ms. Boyer said, we went to Charlie's Kitchen, talked to the person at the entry, asked him how many he had. He said that he had 110 walked down, believed that it would be more than that with a clicker, counted 124, advised manager to have 21 people leave.
124 or
145? Excuse me, 145. We allowable capacity is 124, my mistake. We have, I counted 145. We asked 21 people to leave and continued on with the inspection. After the correct occupancy had been reached, also found that the hood was needed to be cleaned, and we had a 7-day reinspection on that.
Did they pass the 7-day reinspection?
Yes.
Outside of the overcrowding, was the hood the only other issue of concern?
Besides overcrowding.
And was that with regard to, I mean, this is a connected business, Charlie's and the Red House. Did you also do the Red House, or you guys only stayed at Charlie's?
Just Charlie's.
A portion of Charlie's.
Yeah. Just Charlie's.
Thank you.
The kitchen is a shared kitchen, I believe, with the Red House. Correct. Is that correct? Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I swear you were going to say something.
I was just stating that, Overeem had submitted a letter to BRID stating some of the changes that he had done soon after the inspection.
Thank you. Just quickly, for either the deputy or the chief, just a question. There are actually three components to Charlie's Kitchen. Would you agree? The beer garden, and there's the downstairs and the upstairs.
Correct.
And each of them have separate capacities.
Correct.
Right. Did you do inspections of the downstairs and the upstairs at Charlie's Kitchen?
We did the beer garden that evening based on that it was Cinco de Mayo, and it was the single one that was definitely over capacity.
Right. So you never went into the downstairs or the upstairs?
No, the deputy chief.
I went into the downstairs. I on visual, it did not appear that it was approaching any over capacity, so I did not do a clicker count.
Right. Is it fair to say, based on your background, training, experience, if it appeared to you that it was exceeding capacity, you would have initiated a clicker count?
Correct.
Thank you. Nothing further.
Do you have any questions of your clients?
No, but we do have some information we want to share with the commission. As noted, Charlie's has three components to it. It has a beer garden, which is an exterior space that's accessed or is supposed to be accessed through what would have been a driveway into what was previously a loading area. And stationed at the top of the driveway is a checkpoint, and working that evening was an individual who was described by the deputy chief and the chief investigator, and his responsibility was to be controlling access into the space. There are two other points of access into the space. Both of them are egresses. One is a gate that allows you to get onto Winthrop Street, and the second is an emergency egress from the first floor of the Charlie's restaurant. After this incident occurred, Mr. Overgag and his brother conducted an investigation. They determined there were two flaws in the system that they had designed to control capacity. One is patrons, on occasion, open the gate to allow friends or others to come in from Winthrop Street and bypass the control checkpoint. Presumably that might have happened on this occasion. We don't have any evidence to contradict any of the counts established by the fire chief. And as acknowledged or as indicated in the report, the person that was responsible for the chief control point was not relying upon a clicker. And in the communication that was referred to earlier, that individual was let go because that was a violation of the practices. The second issue involves patrons who are inside Charlie's, and if they don't want to wait to get into the beer garden, apparently some of them were going through a door that's an egress-only door out of Charlie's that egresses into the patio space. So changes have been made to both of those features of the business, and I have photographs to show you that they now have already installed an emergency alarm bar, if I may approach. So the two control points that appear to be vulnerable to penetration, as I said, is the gate. So the gate has been reoriented so it now opens outside and has an emergency restriction on it. Similarly, the door inside, the egress door inside the space is an alarm door, alarmed as well, so people cannot get into those locations. And practices are being upgraded in terms of communication between the staff. They're going to a communication system where the control staff will be able to talk to one another through a wireless headset, and they're going to institute more regular periodic updates on capacity. The board can be forgiven if they don't recognize either of the Overgag brothers, because the two of them have operated three restaurants more than 30 years in Cambridge, and they have never been to a disciplinary hearing at the Cambridge License Commission. For many years, the Giannino restaurant in Charles Square, now the home of the Legal Seafoods, was operated by Mr. Overgag and his brother. They took over the long-standing Charlie's Kitchen about 20 years ago, continued a fine tradition, and then operate the Red House. So three licenses, three different establishments, a stellar history of adherence to License Commission rules and protocols. In this case, I think they've stepped up very quickly, without speaking to counsel, sent communication to the commission, basically acknowledging mistakes that were made and offering for the commission's consideration remedies that I think are both practical and highly responsive to the issues that the license commission would expect when licensees encounter a situation like this. I would ask that the board understandably could make a finding here that the matter was, there were sufficient facts to find the existence of a violation in light of the history, the somewhat small exceedance here, it's somewhat around the 20% range, but by comparison, I think it's understandable on a hot night this became a popular location and patrons were accessing it in a manner that evaded the limitations that have been in place. So those management deficiencies have been addressed. We'd ask the commission to consider the remedies and this quick response of the licensees in determining an appropriate disposition here.
Thank you. I think based on the evidence, I would find a violation considering this licensee's lack of disciplinary history for over, what was it, 19 years, 20 years?
30 years.
30 years.
If you combine the three restaurants,
well,
yes.
Well, no, not the three restaurants.
Well, at this location, 20 plus years.
Yeah. And considering how we have voted on similar matters, I would say for the record that the one that comes to mind that's similar to this one was the Daedalus one of 2017. In that one, I remember that my biggest concern was that that roof deck was over 70% of the capacity. Roof decks being and presenting safety issues different from this type of patio, I would therefore recommend a one-day suspension, however, held in abeyance for a year in consideration of this licensee's history.
I would concur with that.
I concur.
Okay. Violation, one-day suspension, held in abeyance for a year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Disciplinary matter, 1010 Memorial Drive Tenants Corp, 8 Maynard Place, holder of garage license number 14445 due to alleged violation of failure to timely, properly renew and operating without a license in violation of General Laws Chapter 148, Section 1 at SEC and Cambridge Municipal Code 8.08.
Please raise your right hand.
Swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you. You may take a seat. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
I am Richard Getz, and my company manages 1010 Memorial Drive, which is a high-rise building right beside Mount Auburn Hospital. And this violation is has to do with one of the parking areas that they have owned since 1972. And it appears here we paid it late.
Can you give me your last name again?
Yes, G-E-T-Z.
Yeah. So this one was due, the renewal was due in April because the license expires on May 1st. May 14th, it had yet to renew. And the history is that last year as well, the license was renewed late. It was renewed in June. However, I do recognize that this has been open for a number of years, and these were the only two times. And I also understand that we were in a new system this year. But with that said, I would suggest a one-day suspension held in abeyance for a year.
Can I ask you some questions about this? This is a two-step process. First, they have to get the fire permit. And I do that online. You don't send out bills or anything like that, invoices to any of the residents?
You don't send out bills? No. When you secure the permit online, you pay a fee online.
All right, so it's up to us to know when to renew it. Is that the same with a licensing commission?
No, you received four different notices that this license was due.
And the other question I have, there's a bunch of different licensing numbers that don't seem to correspond to each other. I don't know why that is. And does the fire department have a separate number than the city of Cambridge? So for
the fire department permit number on your permit.
Okay.
And then because we transitioned this year to a new system, your license now has a new license number.
Right. Yeah, that's helpful.
For the record, I concur with the chair and the fire chief.
So violation, one-day suspension held in abeyance for 1 year. You'll receive a statement of reasons. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Disciplinary matter, Cambridge Sound and Security Incorporated, doing business as Cambridge Sound and Security, 234 Monsignor O'Brien Highway, holder of garage license number 14371, due to alleged violations of failure to timely, properly renew and operating without license in violation of Mass General Laws, Chapter 148, Section 1, at Second, Cambridge Municipal Code 8.08. Swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the
yes.
Truth.
Thank you. You may take a seat. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Hercules Galtaropoulos, H-E-R-C-U-L-E-S,
H-E-R-C-U-L-E-S. Thank you.
My last name is Galtaropoulos, K-A-L-O-G-E-R-O-P-O-U-L-O-S.
K-A-L-O-G-E-R-O-P-O-U-L-O-S. All right. There we go. All right. Thank you. And again, this is the same as we just heard. This renewal, bless you, was due the end of April, May 17th, you were inspected, it had still not been renewed, and last year as well, you renewed late in June. However, I do note for the record that you have a significant history and have been around for over 20 years, and these were the first two times that this happened. I would recommend the same as the previous matter of a violation with a one-day held in abeyance for a year.
I called in to find out because I wasn't too sure, but they're telling me that I actually have a wrong permit too. I don't know if that makes sense. I have three cars, not for nine.
The flammable material permit?
I'm not sure which one, but they told me it's for three cars. The permit that I applied for that you said I was late on, this is because it changes every. That's what the gentleman told me at the permit place. You're supposed to have the three cars and they're scheduled for nine.
Do you have nine spaces?
I have three car spots only, three garage spots only, not nine. So I was hoping, they told me that it was going to be an investigator come in, but I didn't see one come in.
When you say you spoke to somebody, who did you speak with?
I don't know the person that I don't write. I called it in to find out when I first got the notice, and I told them, I only got three here. I mean, come down and take a look at it.
You know what, then I would say, I would withdraw my vote on this, and I would say that we send out the investigators to further investigate and make sure that this is something that needs
okay.
to be like.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you. And just before you go, let me confirm we have your proper contact information. Can you take a look at that and tell us if that's your proper contact information, please? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Do you want a cell phone number just in case, too, or not?
Yeah, if you could write it down, that would be great. And we'll have an investigator contact you. Thank you. And we're going to skip to matter number 11 now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Disciplinary matter, Hot Pot Boston 1, LLC, doing business, Happy Lamb Hot Pot. Holder of a common victualler wine and malt license at 485 Mass Ave for alleged violations of no crowd manager documentation, blocked exits, and other violations of the fire code on March 17th, and violation of general laws, Chapter 138, Sections 23, License Commission Rules 2.3, 2.5, 5.1, 5.7, 8.3, 9.3, and 9.4.
Thank you.
Anyone who's going to testify that has not been sworn, stand and raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Yes, as Will Cheung, C-H-E-U-N-G.
And Will was the first name?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's Bin Jiang, B-I-N-D-H-A-N-G.
Sorry, B-I-N?
D-Z-H-A-N-G.
Thank you.
Andre Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R, investigator for the City of Cambridge License Commission. There is another task force inspection that took place on March 17th, 2018. Task force included Deputy Chief Peter Donovan, ISD Inspector Brendan Vigneault, and I. The room layout, when you first walk in, there's a host station with one large room for all the seating. My inspection noted that the entrance of the host stand was blocked by patrons waiting to be seated to dine. The maximum allowed capacity is 134, but they did not have a person certified to be the crowd manager at the time.
Were they at least aware of the fact that they needed a crowd manager, or were they surprised when you asked about the crowd manager?
I think Deputy Chief should be speaking about
Deputy Chief Peter Donovan, Cambridge Fire Prevention. Cambridge Fire Department, Fire Prevention Bureau, D-O-N-O-V-A-N. Yes, when spoke to the management, they were unaware of the requirements.
And then the blocked exits, was it just the front exit in terms of the host stand and that exit, or were there other exits blocked?
The ISD inspector, Brendan Vigneault, had to leave at 4 o'clock today, but he gave me his inspection report, and it's noted the deficiency of the egress ways to move items blocking rear emergency egress must be cleared at all times. And other comments and other deficiencies is a curtain blocking egress continuity. And he wrote down the code.
And you noted in your inspection form about patrons blocking the entrance.
Yes, so they were at the host stand waiting to be seated, and it was just too many people. There was no line.
Gentlemen?
What is the capacity? What is the capacity of
134.
134.
Yes. Mr. Chair, just one other thing. As Ms. Boyer said, that there was a moderate amount of people at the front door blocking the exit. We spoke to management and asked them to clear it out. We had to explain further on in inspection that this had to be done immediately. There were some items blocking the rear exit. I had them moved prior to us leaving. Ansel system was out of date. We had the 7-day reinspection on Ansel system and crowd manager. Since they weren't aware of the program, gave them information about the state Department of Fire Services, how to obtain it, and 14-day reinspection on that.
And did they pass?
Yeah.
And the Ansel system was serviced?
Yeah.
How far was the Ansel system out of date of the initial inspection?
I don't have that written down, the exact date, how many days it was out. It was 7-day reinspection day.
Yes, Chairperson, Fire Chief, Commissioner. So there was actually a misunderstanding by my staff, including Ben here. He was actually a crowd manager. He was certified. I guess there was a miscommunication between him or my staff with the fire department. I have a certificate here from the beginning of 2016 certifying him as a crowd manager. I'm also a crowd manager myself. So I think, because usually I keep track of all the documents, I think they just misunderstood the question, and then they were trying to call me and wasn't able to reach me that night. So they weren't aware of where these documents were, and I have them here.
How about the crowd manager log? Do you have the crowd manager log?
I did not bring it with me, but we do have a record of that.
And do you keep that daily?
Yes.
We'll take the certificate that you do have.
Yes, and then and I also, we do admit that we had a bit of a crowd waiting in the front of the entrance. We have a fairly, not a very large restaurant, and since we have taken steps to correct our mistakes, we would like to be in compliance with the fire department. So we have since taken steps to train all of our staff to be crowd managers. We have also implemented, instead of using like a simple notebook to take down guests' name and party, we have to purchase a brand new POS system that, you know, can send out text messages to customers so they don't have to wait inside the restaurant after they have put their name down. We have also purchased rope by the front entrance to ensure that the path is not blocked.
Mr. Ben was on duty that night,
yes.
On March the 17th. Is that who you spoke to?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And that's you, sir?
Yes.
And where are the documents kept?
They are kept in the office, but then they weren't able to find it, so they were trying to call me, but so it was a mishap. That we would like to prevent. We would like to put these documents and logs in the front of the store going forward. Also, the certificate to be placed on the wall so they can be seen during any inspection.
Mr. Bin, do you now know where the documents are kept?
No.
Where do you... You were on duty that night.
Yes.
Did you take a log that night?
Yes, I did.
So if you had a log, why weren't you able to produce it to the inspector?
Because usually
I
keep track
of it. Thank you.
So you mean if that dog knock?
As crowd control manager, you have to keep a log every day.
Yeah.
Did you keep a log that day?
That day I doesn't. I didn't. Yeah.
Since that night, how many nights have you been the only crowd manager on duty?
Every week I duty like around 3 to 4 days.
Okay. And have you kept logs since that day?
It's never happened again.
You have never kept a log?
He said it's never happened again.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have kept a log since that day?
Yes.
Every day?
Yes.
Disciplinary history?
None. They were approved in that their license issued in October of 2016, and they have had no disciplinary history since.
Well,
1 day held in abeyance. For how long?
1 year.
Say a warning. Violation warning.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will tell you that the inspectors are going to be instructed to visit your premises.
Yes.
Application, Selly & Sons Associate 1, LLC, doing business as McDonald's, has applied for a new common victualer license at 186 Alewife Brook Parkway with a seating capacity of 59. Proposed hours are 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. all days. Lucy Arotoma is proposed manager of record of a Premise described as first floor dining room and kitchen in the back, storage in the rear, and two bathrooms in the back.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
My name is Madhu, M-A-D-H-U, and the last name is G-O-Y-A-L, Goyal.
All right, you were too fast. M-A-D?
H-U.
H-U?
And the last name, G-O-Y-A-L.
Thank you.
Goyal.
Oh, like Goya, but with an L at the end.
L-E-D. Poirier, P-O-I-R-I-E-R.
I-R-E. All right, thank you. And you guys are basically just going into the same space of the McDonald's as there now.
Exactly. There's no change at all.
Okay.
It's a change in the franchise owner, is it?
Just the change of the franchise owner.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? I would vote to grant. Granted.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Application Poke for Me 2 LLC, doing business as Poke Works, 1440 Mass Ave, holder of common victual license number 12332, has applied for seasonal outdoor seating for 26 seats on the public sidewalk.
Good afternoon again.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, for the record, James Rafferty, 675 Massachusetts Avenue, appearing on behalf of the licensee. To my right, Brett Sigworth, B-R-E-T-T-S-I-G-W-O-R-T-H. Mr. Sigworth is a principal of the LLC that operates Poke Works. It's a common victual license located at the corner of Mass Ave and Church Street in Harvard Square. This is an application to allow for 26 seats on the outside patio there. It's a very wide area in front of the premises. I'm sure the commission is familiar with it. We've had extensive engagement with the Department of Public Works over the siting of this location. We've had active support and participation from the Harvard Square Business Association. It was necessary to remove several payphones and a trash can.
You're removing payphones?
They're gone. They're gone. Well, we didn't.
Years ago.
Others, what's that?
Surprised they weren't gone years ago.
Well, I think
I didn't know that they still existed.
Well, I think the suspicion was they might not be being used for the best purposes, and I think there was some consensus that removing the payphones might not be a bad thing. So it was, frankly, at the suggestion of others that they go. So this location is next door to the Auto Pizza, which has a very similar outdoor patio scenario. As I said, we had extensive involvement. A full team from DPW, including the city engineer, Ms. Watkins, came down to assess the situation and the site. And we did have the active support of the association. We want to give acknowledgement and appreciation to Ms. Gilson for her advocacy on behalf of this. Poke Works has been in that location now for 3 or 4 months, proving to be very popular. It's a Hawaiian seafood type of product, somewhat similar to sushi. Mr. Sigworth tells me it's doing very well, serving a wide range of visitors and residents and students, and the demand is quite high. It's a nice location to take advantage of activating the street there, so we were frankly encouraged to explore this, and it's hopefully something that will be beneficial to the square as a whole.
And if I understand the plan correctly, they moved you to the curb, the patio is to the curb?
There's a few feet between the curb. Do you guys have a copy?
But it's not right next, it's not next to the building, correct?
Oh, no, it's considerable distance from the building, yeah. So the path of travel for pedestrians is between the face of the premises and this area, which again is the condition that exists at Otto as well. So it's very much like many of the Central Square outdoor seating, where it's business facade, sidewalk, then the seating, then the curb.
Putting in like a little railing out there?
Yes, we have railings depicted here, approved by the DPW.
I have nothing for you.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Please come up. Please state your name for the record. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Ms. Jason, Executive Director
the Howard Square Business Association, and you know, we actually encouraged Brett to consider doing this because you know, we've had a lot of concerns about the activation of the of Mass Avenue between Church Street and Brattle, and we've been working very closely with, as Attorney Rafferty mentioned, with the DPW and you know, with other city agencies relative to just being more welcoming. And you know, we also were the ones that encouraged the auto pizza patio for similar reasons, and that's worked out great. And you know, the nice thing about it is that anybody walking by can sit down and enjoy, whether it's, you know, something from auto pizza or they just have a coffee or a slush from someplace else. And it's been, you know, very welcoming, and it really has worked out well. So we thought that you know, this would be a terrific way to utilize space that was really underutilized. And for the record, one of those, so there were two stanchions for the telephones, and one telephone had been missing for about 2 years. So the stanchion was just in the way. And so the other telephone, it was checked and realized that it was hardly used at all. And to, you know, have such a large amount of space not being utilized in a way that the public could enjoy it was a little, was less than optimal. And then in terms of the trash barrel, we just had to relocate it, so we didn't lose the trash barrel, we just relocated it off to the side a little bit. So it's all worked out very nicely, and we really do hope that this works, and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Application Lafayette Square Cafe LLC has applied for new common victualler license at 403 Mass Ave with seating capacity of 50. Proposed hours are 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. all days. John Kleinerman. It's Jason Kleinerman.
Jason. And I'm Michael Caceres.
Kleinerman is proposed manager of record of a premise described as approximately 1,000 square feet, first floor space, one entrance, two exits, restrooms, prep area, and storage in the rear.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Sure.
Jason Kleinerman, JasonKleinerman.
And I'm Michael Caceres, MichaelKasseris.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about what Lafayette Square Cafe is intending to be.
We're hoping to fill the space where Cafe Luna Express used to be. It's a pretty small space. Do coffee, some pastry, some dessert, ice cream included. I think the menu was submitted with our.
I believe it's yep.
Breakfast sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Which floor is it going in?
Where Cafe Luna Express used to be.
So you're not making any changes in terms of the kitchen and stuff like that?
There really wasn't a kitchen. So there was just some food prep areas. Not many changes, though. No. Most of the changes are more cosmetic, I'd say. We are repositioning some of the countertops, but a lot of them were barely attached. They were like pretty much rough.
Do you have a timetable for when you plan to open the operation?
I'm getting married in August, so I'm leaving at the end of the month. So we're trying to be as quick as possible and not do a lot of changes and try to open, you know, respond to some of the feedback that we get from our customers. So, if all goes well tonight, we'll try to be finished with all of our work and painting and apply as soon as we can for inspections. So, before the end of the month.
So you're thinking of opening before your wedding? So while you're at your honeymoon, people will be bothering you?
Well,
he has two partners, business partners, and we do have some other establishments and a management team in the town of Hudson, so.
Okay. So not your first venture?
No.
Okay. I did notice that the ISD sign-off mentioned something about outside seating, but your application did not. Do you guys intend to have outside seating?
Yes. As I'm aware, there was 10 seats allocated for it.
Yeah, that's what this says.
And I believe the businesses, like there's a Desidaba next door, they kind of like, they've been historically putting some of those like iron chairs outside right in front of there. So I just tried to leave everything the way it was in terms of like capacity and exterior
seating. You would need, so you haven't gone through public works and their sidewalk obstruction permit or anything. Is the outside seating that you're talking about on public property?
I'm not sure. Okay. I'm not, if that's a hurdle, I'm not intending to do it. I would
I mean, if it's public property, you have to go through DPW for a sidewalk obstruction permit. That also has to go to City Council for approval.
And we would.
You could always do it after.
We would remove that. Yeah, we just want to try to open. So if that was a hindrance, we would like that.
I mean, I wouldn't call it a hindrance, but it is part of the process, and we wouldn't be able to approve. I mean, we could issue the license, but we wouldn't be able to allow you to have the outdoor until
That's
you
fine.
Have all that information or all those permits. Okay.
Yeah. It sounds like I need to learn a little bit more about the process. So just.
Okay.
It's fairly simple.
Any other questions? Okay. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant. I would vote to grant, including the outdoor, provided that they give us the sidewalk obstruction permit and the approvals necessary from the city and other departments, including City Council.
I agree.
Okay. You had a question.
Just want to be very clear, the Lafayette Square cafe name is kind of like a placeholder. We're just.
You don't have a DBA currently. You just gave us Lafayette Square Cafe LLC.
Yeah.
If you change the LLC, you just need to fill out a form and provide us, and we'll make that change. If you decide to add a DBA to it, again, just give us a notice and we will make the change administratively.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Do I need to go?
Yeah, we're going to take a 5-minute break.
Ready?
Yep.
Application.
Hold on. They need to sign. They didn't vote on the other one.
Oh.
They said it orally, but they haven't signed it yet.
Application Mua Tassem Elawad has applied for a new Cambridge Hackney driver's license.
Elawad? Second call.
Madeline Jean has applied for a new Cambridge Hackney driver's license.
Madeline Jean. Second call.
The last two applications, Matt Burnham, I believe they were removed at the request of the applicant.
They were.
Is it noise guys?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, but are you here for the Ben Lavery one, or are you here for the Matt Burnham one?
The Matt Burnham ones were canceled.
Yes, those were taken off the agenda.
Yes.
By Mr. Burnham.
Correct.
I'm sorry. Why don't you come forward?
Sorry.
This will be easier. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
It's Ed LaFleur, L-E-F.
Oh, yes. Come on down, Mr. LaFleur. Okay. Mr. LaFleur, first of all, I left it upstairs because it was taken off, but you are supposedly the person that's doing the community outreach for Mr. Burnham?
Yes.
And do you have affidavits for these noise variances?
No, because we chose not to move forward with them.
Okay,
so
and are you not going to move forward with them at all? Or
we're probably
going to
move forward with them based upon how the work goes in the next couple of weeks. And so if the next couple of weeks lead to good work and our coordination with Alexandria, who owns the garage and the child care center right there, then we're going to try to move all of our work to the daytime and avoid any kind of night work.
Okay. Now, our next meeting is July 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to give the abutters at least 7 days to get to us
mm-hmm.
information as to how they feel about the variance. So if you're looking to be heard on the 25th, then you need to tell the abutters sooner rather than later. Otherwise, you're looking at the next meeting, which would be August 15th.
Yep, I understand.
Which means that you can work during day hours, but you wouldn't be able to get a noise variance during that time.
My goal would be to work out whether we're working out at night before Friday.
Okay.
And if that case, then I would flyer the following week and then notify abutters and then fill out the affidavits.
Okay. Because we have gotten complaints in the area, which is why we had put these on for a hearing.
No, understood.
Okay.
Yep. And the complaints were related to the 399 Binney Street. Nothing, I mean, we haven't worked at night through McCourt construction.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's a sensitive area right now.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You got it.
Other than for this one, are you here for any other noise variance?
Ben Labrie.
Okay. So why don't we skip to that one?
Thank you.
That would be number 20 on the agenda.
20 and 21. Ben Lavery on behalf of Matemco has applied for special noise variance on July 21st, 28th, or August 4th from 5 a.m. until 10 p.m. at 25 Hayward Street for concrete trucks, backup alarms, and concrete pumps.
Okay. Give me a second while I get your application for taking that out of order. And good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Chris Richard, R-I-C-H-A-R-D.
Sorry,
R-I. C-H-A-R-D.
Oh, Richard.
And Ben Labrie, L-A-V-E-R-Y.
Thank you.
And Ed LaFleur, L-E-F-L-O-R-E.
Thank you. And these are for 20 and 21. We'll call those together.
Ben Labrie, on behalf of Matemco, has applied for special noise variance from July 30th through August 10th, Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. at 25 Hayward for concrete truck, backup alarms, and concrete pumps.
Now, if I understand these correctly, the one for July 21st, 28th, or August 4th, that will only be for one day, correct?
Yes, it's just because we're looking at it with the amount of concrete it is, it has to be on a Saturday so that Boston Sand and Gravel can actually get the service for that. So it's a Saturday, so we don't know which Saturday.
One of those three Saturdays.
Correct.
In addition to that, we have worked with the DPW to close Main Street in one direction to allow for the volume of concrete trucks to access the site.
And this is the one that will take over 18 hours to pour, something like that?
Correct. Yep.
And once you start the pour, you can't stop it?
Correct. It's a structural issue.
Okay, and then the other one, which is from July 30th through August 10th. I can't remember who sent the email to Ms. Boyer about, are you seeking to start on the 23rd so that you would have 3 weeks to do this,
so,
or are you seeking to start a week earlier?
We're looking to start it a week earlier. This would also be one night. We're looking to go to 9 o'clock one night. And it's the pour, it's just another, it's a 1,000-yard pour. Everything will be done from inside the site. But one night we're going to go until 9 o'clock just because 1,000 yards is going to take that time frame too.
So it's not from July 30th through August?
No, it was last
day,
minute yesterday.
One day in that window.
But if we could do it from the 23rd to the 10th, just to give ourselves enough play for that
and
one.
And have you told the abutters about that?
We have told them on multiple occasions. I'm actually meeting with them after this meeting today, again, to review the variances that we reviewed 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I did see that there is a lot of communications with the abutters, significant amount that has been submitted to us and very detailed in terms of what you guys have submitted, so I actually commend you on that.
Thank you.
And appreciate it. With that said, I would vote to approve both variances, and the second one to also include the window of July 23rd.
Concur.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I think that may be one of the things that we have to consider.
Yep, give me 1 second so that I can get this right. Thank you. sir, are you... Are you Mutasam El Awad? Okay, could you please come up? Please take a seat. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Mutasam El Awad, MOUATASSEM, as in Mary. Last name is El Awad, ELAWAD.
Thank you. And you are applying for a Hackney license, and you also just recently submitted, so we'll take it now as well, a Hawker Peddler license, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, please.
And then I did have a question. It looks like you had been licensed as a Cambridge Hackney driver before, is that correct?
Yes.
When did you stop being a licensed Hackney driver for Cambridge? This was number 12, we had called him before, but he wasn't here.
But this is Hawker for Hawker.
Oh, it is, and he submitted it yesterday, so we did that at it.
So, 2001?
Okay, yeah, you can take it. Okay. So why are you speaking to... Well, was that license suspended?
No, it was not suspended. It was just expired 2001, and I stopped driving. And now I like to come back to drive, you know, for the winter and for the summertime. I like to do the ice cream.
Okay. Oh. And then, you don't own a medallion, correct?
No, I don't, ma'am, no.
Okay. So you'll be leasing a cab?
Yes, ma'am.
You have a brown history?
Yep, it's right here. It was bad way back when, but he hasn't had anything for a long time. You stopped speeding?
Yes. I have big family to support now. We know, can't afford to get into any trouble.
In terms of the pillar, you're looking for an ice cream truck, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. I'm leasing one already, and I have a permit in a couple of towns, in Walpole and Revere.
And has your truck been inspected by ISD yet, by the health?
I have spoke to Kristen, I believe her name is, and she just tried to set me up with the fire department so we can take care of that.
Okay. Anyone in favor of these petitions? Anyone in opposition to these petitions? Okay. I would vote to grant the Hackney license. I would also vote to grant the peddler license pending the passing of the inspection, the truck inspection by fire and ISD, and also the payment for the hearing and license.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Carl, both
of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So are you here for a particular matter?
No,
okay.
Thank you, but I do have an information question, if I may.
We're not done yet, maybe at the
end. About the peddler license? No.
At the end, thank you. Okay, so...
Administrative matters?
Yes. I think I'm in order. Yes, go ahead.
Notice
hold on one second. Make sure you sign. You saw the two applications.
Oh.
Notice of proposed sale of Cambridge Hackney Medallion number 33 from Progressive Credit Union to Buffalo at 8. Notice of proposed sale of Cambridge Hackney Medallion number 122 from Progressive Credit Union to MGS Cap.
Board of Acknowledgement.
Sapa LLC, doing business as Sapa, has applied for a Hawker Peddler license to operate a mobile food truck at 150 Cambridge Park Drive on Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Did Kristen give us the approval form for this?
We added the step and viewpoint, and she approved it.
Okay. So I would vote to grant.
And Bisco Incorporated, doing business as Red Bones Barbecue, has applied for a Hawker Peddler license to operate on Friday nights from 8 p.m. until 2 a.m. in Central Square. Same situation.
I believe they got actually inspected at the beginning.
8 p.m. until 1?
Midnight. 12 a.m.
Oh, okay.
I would vote to grant.
The Board of License Commissioners will discuss possible changes to the process regarding the licensing of peddlers, specifically food trucks.
So, as you know, when we have the peddlers, the application, we ask them to identify the place where they're going to be at and also give us a letter of permission. The food truck program in the City of Cambridge has expanded. I think they're now not only in private locations but also in public locations. I would suggest that we approve a food truck as is intended to, a food truck, and we approve it to operate in the City of Cambridge and have them notify us of where they're going to be so that our inspectors know and so that we have, but that they not necessarily have to provide these letters, which can become problematic, especially for licensed food trucks that have one-day events, sort of because Central Flea is here or a company's having an event, and so they have to go through all these red tapes mm-hmm. to just get that one day approved. So I would like to amend our application so that it is not required that they provide us these letters of permission. It's upon them, obviously, if they're going to be in a private area and they're in a private area and they're not licensed to be there, or they're not authorized to be there, they're going to call us. And if they're in a public area and they're not licensed to be there, we're obviously going to get a call and we can certainly take steps to that. But
I agree with that.
I agree.
Okay. So we will withdraw the requirement of permission letters.
Consideration of waiver, the DeLeo Garages, 77 Huron Ave, holder of garage license number 14415, has filed a waiver of hearing for alleged violations of failure to timely, properly renew and operating without a license.
This one is with the other ones that we heard earlier today. They submitted their application late. Last year they also submitted it late. So again, I would vote for a violation with a one-day held in abeyance for a year.
I'm sorry. Said it's a residential. They've been there for 1,000 years. The garage.
Aaron Roy, on behalf of Middle East Restaurant Inc., holder of common victualler all alcohol license at 472-480 Mass Ave, has applied for a one-day amendment to their existing license to remain open until 1:30 a.m. on October 31st, 2018.
Our closing hour is usually at 12:30.
So
I would vote to grant. This is the hour. Nice catch. Mm.
take that first off the agenda. Newen and Associates Incorporated.
That's because they need to file the application with the ABCC, correct?
Newen and Associates Incorporated, doing business as Riles, 212 Hampshire Street, is closed and turned in their common victualler all alcohol license.
Board acknowledges license canceled.
And that's already been taken care of. C.C. Duran, on behalf of Chipotle Mexican Grill Incorporated, holder of the common victualler license at 1 Brattle Square, is requesting to change their existing license to close at 11 p.m. Current closing hour is 10 p.m.
I would vote to grant.
C.C. Duran, on behalf of Chipotle at 600 Mass Ave, is making the same request.
We'll go to grant.
Emil Giordano, on behalf of Turner Construction, has applied for a special noise variance for the week of July 16th from 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. at 290 Main Street for an electric crane tower. It will only be one day.
Yeah, this is because the beams are like 80 feet long. I would vote to grant.
Robin Brown, on behalf of the Pull Up LLC, has applied for a change to their existing Hawker Peddler license to add Cambridge Port on Fridays from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m.
So based on our vote, I would vote to grant, but otherwise I would still vote for
that. Meeting minutes for February 28th, March 21st, May 23rd, and June 6th.
I would vote to approve February 28th. to approve.
I'm not sure.
March 21st.
Weren't here for one of them.
That one. That first one. I would approve for March 21st. Approve for May 23rd. Also approved
for one-day license applications. Peter DeVito, on behalf of Cambridge Side Gallery, has applied for entertainment licenses at Canal Park on Wednesdays from July 18th through September 5th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. for a Fit and Fabulous fitness series.
I would grant with an amendment of the hours of 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. so that it is the same as the park permit. Counts for
the
setup and
Pierre Bizem, on behalf of Just to Start, has applied for entertainment and one-day amusement license at Linwood Court parking lot on August 18th from 1 to 4 for a block party. Peter Maritos, on behalf of the Friendly Toast, has applied for a malt and wine license at the ARE Courtyard, 1 Kendall, on July 26th from 4 to 8 for a concert.
Granted, as a malt and wine only, I only say that because in the application, all alcohol was at some point marked off. I know it's been crossed off, but I just want to make it clear that it's for malt and wine only. I would also grant it with the condition that the area must be attended to and monitored by managerial employee at all times. And the license fee applies if this is not contiguous to the license premises.
That's Maritos.
Friendly Toast. Yes, Maritos. Jeff Kaufman, on behalf of the Boston Intergenerational Dance Advocates, has applied for an entertainment license at the Cambridge Masonic Hall, 1915 Mass Ave, on March 22nd through March 24th, 2019, from 7 to 11 p.m., 9:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. and 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Granted, and kudos to them for the most in advance application ever.
This says Jane, but it's actually Yana Dublin has applied for an entertainment license at Chilton Street on September 15th, rain date of 16th, for a block party, and she's also looking for the fee to be waived.
Granted as to the application, denied as to the fee waiver.
Agreed.
It's just a neighborhood block party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paul Loshak has applied for an entertainment license at Russell Youth and Community Center, 680 Huron, on August 10th and 12th from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. for a social dance.
9 p.m. to 12 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said p.m. Okay,
no.
Granted.
Phil Bannatyne has applied for a malt and wine license at One Kendall on August 23rd from 4 to 8 p.m. for a concert.
Granted, with the condition that the area must be attended to and monitored by a managerial employee at all times, and the license fee applies as this is not contiguous.
Jennifer Novotny has applied for a malt and wine license at MIT Museum, 265 Mass Ave, July 20th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m.
Granted with police utility card. Commissioner Barr, can you put on that one, only because I know that our staff's going to ask us that we voted that the license fee applies because it's not contiguous. License fee applies, not contiguous. Thank you. Sorry about that.
You know the last. Amanda Eaton has applied for a malt and wine license with entertainment, Cambridge Masada Call, 1950 Mass Ave, on August 4th from 4:30 to 11:30 p.m. for a wedding reception.
Branson.
Lulu Alam, a chef, has applied for an entertainment license, Cambridge Masada Call, on September 1st, 2:30 to 11:30 p.m. for a wedding shower. Mark Walter, on behalf of New England Kids Triathlon, has applied for an entertainment license at Zessiger Sport and Fitness Center, 120 Vassar, July 15th, from 7:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. for a children's triathlon. I got...
Granted, and you got the MIT sign-off.
That's there.
We can confirm that it's... Okay, yep. Granted.
Kyle Lapperton has applied for an entertainment license at Cambridge Masonic Hall, 1950 Mass Ave, on July 14th from 7 p.m. to 12 a.m. for a dance.
Granted.
Cheryl Maynard, on behalf of Kingdom Empowerment Center, has applied for an entertainment and amusement and vendor license at Senate Park on July 28th from 12 to 4.
And she is requesting a fee waiver. They are a nonprofit and... They're requesting the waiver because everything is free to the children and it is a nonprofit event for the children. With that said, I would grant the application and also the fee waiver. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Margaret Kucher has applied for an entertainment license to be exercised at Glass House. Did you hear back from them?
Okay, no. I would deny this.
Do you want to... Do we have...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Thank you. I would deny this Glass House one. We already voted under one day. Although, hold on. You know what? This is not for... This is just for live music. Ignore that. I'll take that out. We had voted for their alcohol licenses, but this is just an entertainment. This is just for entertainment for patrons, dancing, amplification, and recorded live music. So I would vote to grant this.
Okay.
Provided that we get approval from ISD. That's what we were looking for on this. Provided that we get approval from ISD that the entertainment that they're seeking, that they're zoned for it, or that they ISD approves the one day.
I believe I emailed them.
Okay.
I'm certain I emailed them, actually.
Okay. So I would say granted, provided ISD/zoning approves. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Crystal Murphy, on behalf of Compass Working Capital, has applied for an entertainment license at the Masonic Hall on November 13th from 4 to 9 p.m. for a ceremony.
Anton?
Jessica Fan on behalf of HubSpot has applied for an entertainment license at Canal Park, July 17th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. for outdoor lawn care. This, we decided they didn't need a license.
Yeah, this is, they actually, they're actually just having lawn parties, so we told them that they do not need a license. Because they're using no amplification or anything like that.
Just a group of people hanging in a park.
Yep, so no license needed, so no vote on that.
Right outside their office. Kathy Zusi has applied for malt and wine with entertainment license at Magazine Beach Park on September 16th from 6 to 8 p.m. for a fundraiser party. It's their annual benefit.
They also requested a fee waiver, and their request for the fee waiver is because the party is to raise money for the improvements at the park. It's a quote-unquote friends group for the Mass Department of Conservation. And, you know, they use the money to revitalize the park. They did submit their nonprofit certification.
I would grant the waiver.
Okay, so voted to grant the license. I would put with a police detail required, and we waive the fee.
Michael Martelli, on behalf of Blueprint Medicines, has applied for a malt and wine license at Forest City on 45 Sydney on July 19th from 3:30 to 7 p.m. for a summer gathering. Ryan Farrell has applied for an entertainment license at Longfellow Park on August 18th from 4 to 6 for a wedding.
Granted, and I would grant 3 to 7 so that it's in accordance with the park permit and give them time to set up and take down.
Faith Marshall, on behalf of the St. Paul AME Church, has applied for an entertainment license at Senate Park on July 15th from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. for a church service and picnic.
Granted.
Robert Blair, I did not hear back from him regarding ISD.
Yeah, I think we need to talk to ISD, not have them talk with ISD. But this is basically so that they can have, it just looks like amplification system. I would, again...
Well, isn't that part of their current license, no?
No, actually, they do this every year. They get about 5 of these, and ISD has approved them in the past.
Yeah, I would still want ISD to sign off, considering...
Yeah.
Everything that's been going on. So I would vote to grant pending ISD zoning approval.
Tricia Barnes, on behalf of Comcast, has applied for an entertainment license at 186 Alewife Brook Parkway, July 19th, 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. for a story event. It's an extended story. I actually saw it for the first time the other day.
The Xfinity Store one, granted.
Sandra Rizcala has applied for an entertainment license. Mm-hmm.
So that was People's Republic?
That was People's Republic, yeah.
You wanted us, I should have signed it? Oh, pending, okay. Yeah. Pending ISD. Okay, I'm sorry.
Entertainment license at Winthrop Park on July 17th and 31st from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. for a music performance.
Granted.
Rachel Miller-Munzer has applied for a malt and wine license at 1 Kendall on August 9th from 4 to 8 for an outdoor party.
I would say granted with the condition that the area must be attended to and monitored by managerial employee at all times and the license fee applies if it's not contiguous. Give me a second while I write all that.
I'm going to copy that tomorrow.
Okay.
Tim Jandanian malt and wine license at the Masonic Hall on August 10th for a square dance.
Okay, we had a question because this gentleman informed us in the application. He said that the alcohol was going to be donated. And under the law, he doesn't qualify for it because he's not a nonprofit for the nonprofit event. So basically, he gave us information that the event is a square dance the night before his wedding. The only people attending are the people invited to his wedding, and it's not advertised. And the alcohol, he wasn't sure how to fill out that section, but he's basically buying the alcohol and giving it to his guests. So that's why he said donate it, because he's giving it.
Reception.
Yeah, it's a wedding reception.
So he wouldn't really need a license.
Why do they need them?
Well, because the Masonic Hall probably...
is probably requiring it.
There's a presumption that it's in, bless you,
yeah.
It's a place that's open to the public, and therefore one day is needed. So I would vote to grant. I would change the hours requested from 6... I would change them to 6:30 to 11:30 p.m., if that's what's on the letter from Masonic Hall. But other than that, I vote to grant.
Corey DeVoren has applied for a malt and wine license at Maud Morgan Arts Center on Sacramento Street, September 23rd from 5:45 to 9:30 p.m. for a fundraiser.
Grant.
Also an entertainment license. Maria Moran has applied for a wine and malt license at MIT, 134 Mem Drive on July 23rd for dinner.
Okay, so I would just clarify for this that this is granted as a malt and wine only for the outside, because they currently have an all alcohol for the inside, but they don't, they're not licensed outside. And that the area has to be attended to by managerial employees at all times. And then no changes to the request for the entertainment. I would just grant it as is.
Leo Crowley of the ART has applied for an all-alcohol license on private patio at 2 Arrow on July 20th from 6:30 to 11.
Oh, I skipped one. I'm sorry. That's the one that I meant.
I almost said something.
I hate this list now. Okay, sorry. Strike that. The one before Maria Moran is granted as is. You can scratch all of that, and you just put granted as is. This one, the American Repertory one, this is the one.
They're already licensed.
They're already licensed on the inside, but they're also seeking to serve alcohol on the outside.
Yeah.
But they ask for all alcohol. So I would vote to grant the entertainment.
They weren't applying for entertainment.
Requested.
No entertainment outside, he said. It's strictly inside.
But they don't have all of this under license. So I would vote to grant entertainment as requested and pending ISD zoning approval.
Okay. I will get in touch with him again tomorrow.
And then as to the alcohol for the outside, malt and wine only. An area to be supervised. Site manager, Lindsay.
Bill Manley of the Harvard Square Business Association applied for a malt and wine license, Brattle Plaza, July 27th from 6 to 10 for a salsa event. I got you the.
I would grant, but with the hours of 6 to 9, because that's what the park permit is.
Muslima Habil has applied for a one-day all-alcohol license at the Masonic Hall for a wedding reception and also for an entertainment license, and the hall sent an updated letter.
Granted.
Alex Pagliarini of Inari Agriculture has applied for a wine and malt license at 200 Sydney Street on private property, July 17th from 4 to 7 for an office event.
Mm-mm. No, wait a minute.
17040?
No, hold on. That one was, that last one was which one?
It's the Inari Agriculture.
17040?
17040, yeah. Where are you?
Wait a minute. You did, what are you holding
did,
in your hand?
You did. I have 1796 as the next one, which is an MIT. It's Matthew Romero
all
for
right.
an MIT.
And what
event.
Did I say?
I don't know, that's why I'm asking
I
you.
I think you skipped 1950 Mass Ave, 17044.
No. No, we did that one.
I got a 40. I don't have a number on this one. Let me see what
the name is. This is Bill Manley,
Harvard Square,
Salsa Squared.
Yeah,
that's 17060. Let's write it down.
Date of birth, 7 through 18. 7060.
Then 26.
Then you should have 17044.
17044, which is Muslima Habel. I think we did that one, right?
Yep. Then you should have...
Hold on.
Yes.
Yes. And now our next one is 17040.
Yeah. And Inari Agriculture.
Yeah,
we did that.
Yep. And we signed that one.
And now 17096.
Okay. That's where we're at.
Yep. Matthew Romero, entertainment license, Kresge Main Hall.
Yep.
July 27th.
1,200 people.
Mm-hmm. Granted.
Live music.
Oh, okay. Yeah, live music.
Bill Manley, September 7th from 5 to 10 on Palmer Street for the movie night. And August 3rd for a movie night.
And what about their premise on the...
Oh, I did not request those from him. He told me he has all his permits.
He might, but as you can see, he always applies for hours that are not what the permit has. So I would say...
Is he Denise's assistant?
Yeah.
So I would say granted pending and the hours, I would just make sure that they comply with the with the park permit. Granted, and we'll confirm hours.
I don't think I realized he had... So many. So when I asked for the first one, I didn't.
And these might have had them because I usually put a question mark when he doesn't give the park permit.
Right.
And I didn't on this one.
And also make note about the hours. I will check. Shuhang Nu.
Hold on. The 17073, which is him, the park permit hours are 5 to 9 p.m., so I would change that. I would grant it with hours of 5 to 9 p.m. That's 17073, the Bill Manley one, for the 7/31/2018.
I don't have 7/3. I have 7/5 and 7/4.
There's also, for the record... Application 17073, also for Bill Manley, for children's event on July 31st. He had just 5 p.m. to no end time. I would vote to grant from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. per the park permit.
Yeah, that didn't make it onto my list. Shuhang Nu, entertainment license, Kresge Hall. Bon Mi, one day amendment to vend at the Jazz Festival.
So this will now be moved with our vote, but I would vote to grant any of this here.
What's that?
The Bon Mi, this is one of those food trucks for those one day amendment stuff.
Oh.
Are we done?
No. We have some add-ons. We have a variance from Brian McKierney.
That one I didn't know about.
For 640 Mass Ave for July 15th to December 15. This is to clean up MBTA property to remove the dumpsters, and the work needs to be performed at night per the agreement with the city and MBTA. So granted, I would put the condition that this is for Monday through Fridays only, and the share the road sign needs to be changed to bikes may use the full lane. The next one is also Brian McKierney, but this one is for 1400 Mass Ave for the same type of work. And again, this is per the agreement between the City of Cambridge and the MBTA.
Vertical Transportation Improvements Project.
Yeah. So I would vote to grant, and also with the condition that Monday through Friday only.
And then I gave you two more. And then there's just some paperwork that needs to go in that pile because I have to figure out where it goes.
Okay.
Park permit number. Tracy Narrett, Cambridge Boat Club, applied for a one-day wine and malt at Jerry's Landing for the regatta luncheon. And they have state police sign off.
Granted.
Eric Peterson, one-day amusement on July 13th from 1 to 5. Oh, I didn't say where that is or anything.
They need the park permit?
That may be what I gave you.
Okay, permit number and the certificate. Okay, yeah, this is all that. Okay, so he has everything. So, granted.
And that is it.
Thank God. Got a host full of people coming.
A second call for, it was so long. Madeline Jean, and it being 5:37 p.m. and no show, so no action.
Phil Manley, September 7th from 5 to 10 on Palmer Street for the movie night, and August 3rd for a movie night.
What about this?
Oh, I did not request those permits. He told me he has all his permits.
If he might, but as you can see, he always applies for hours that are not with the permit. So I would say...
Yes.
So I would say granted him and the hours, I would just make sure that they comply with the request permit. Granted and confirmed hours.
I don't think I realized he had... many. So when I asked for the first one, I didn't.
And these might have housed them because I usually put a question mark on the and give the question mark.
Right.
And then this one.
And also you know, make note about the hours. I will check. Johan Yu.
The 17073, which is him. The park permit hours are 5 to 9 p.m., so I would change that. I would grant it with hours of 5 to 9 p.m. That's 17073, the Bill Manley one. So
I don't have
731, 718.
I don't have 73, I have 75 and 74.
There's also for the record. Application 17073, also for Bill Manley, for children's events, July 31st, he had the 5 p.m. to no time. I would go to grant from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. for the first time.
One day mainly to vent at the Jazz Festival.
So this will now be moved with our vote, but I would like to thank the other folks here. The Bonnie, this is one of the two questions for your Sunday amendment stuff.
Oh. No.
So we have some add-ons. We have a variance from Brian McKinney.
Oh, that one I didn't know about.
For 640 Mass Ave. For July 15th to December 15th, this is to clean up MBTA property to remove the dumpsters, and the work needs to be performed at 9:30 agreement with the city and MBTA. granted, I would put the condition that this is sold Monday to Friday only, and we share the work on the weekend to help me the data. The next one is also by machine, but this one is for 1400 NASA for the same type of work, and again, this is for the agreement between the city of Cambridge and the NDCA. So I would vote to grant, and also with the condition that Cambridge decided on.
And then I gave you two more, and then there's just some paperwork that needs to go in that file so I can figure out where it goes.
Yes.
Park permit number. Tracy Merritt, Cambridge Boat Club, applied for a one-day wine and malt at Barry's Landing for the regatta luncheon. You may have to speak to this on that. Eric Peterson, one-day amusements on July 13th from 1 to 5. Oh, I didn't say that.
They need the park permit?
That may be what I gave you.
Number and the certificate of content.
Yeah,
okay. So he has everything. So it's going good.
And that is it.
Madeline
Jean.
And it being 537.